The Drive is brought to you on demand by Assignar Construction Operations Software. Visit keepbuilding.com for a free demonstration and see how much your business can save.
It's a Reaction Monday, powered by Superbook Sports. Leading off with the big story of the day, Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
Well, you know, in the red zone, for instance, you know, making the play, making the good call to get us in the touchdown, to score a touchdown and not settle for a field goal or fail on fourth and one, to better convert third downs, you know, regardless of the down and distance. You know, we had a problem in some games where many of them were too long. Yesterday, that wasn't really the issue. We had a bunch of third and five and six minuses that we didn't convert. You know, finding a way to get off the field defensively, you know, one or two more times on third down. You know, get another takeaway or two here or there. Those are things there, and those involve, you know, both players and coaches.
Besides everything, how was the play, Mrs. Lincoln? You gotta be kidding me. Here's Melvin Gordon, who is stunned that the team didn't work out better.
This team was probably just across the board. I mean, it's, you know, it's just, I was really frustrated the last game, I'm not going to lie. After the Raiders game, I was just so mad. Just because, like, I'm just thinking about from the D-line, from the secondary, you know, from receivers, tight ends, the linemen we have. Young, but just a lot of moxie. Running backs, I mean, even the ones, the twos, the threes, even the guys that, you know, don't get as much love, you know, the linebackers, it was just so frustrating to me, man, because, I mean, it's such a well-built team. Like, it's a Super Bowl team, you know, and you just sit back and you just get so frustrated because we're so much better than what our records show, you know, and we know that. And we show a glimpse of just amazingness sometimes, and to not consistently put that out there, you know, it's frustrating. It's frustrating as a player. I know it's frustrating as coaches, as an organization. It's tough, man. We such a good football team.
Cecil in for Tyler today. Cease, your reaction to those comments?
Has Melvin Gordon ever played in the playoffs? Like when he was like, this is Super Bowl roster. Wait, ho, hey now. Hey, interesting. Got to play in the postseason before you start talking about this is a Super Bowl roster. I do agree the talent is there. I don't have many issues with the talent outside of the quarterback and then, of course, right tackle, which is the forever riddle with this team. But it's funny how Gordon doesn't realize if you don't have a quarterback, none of it matters. Your roster building doesn't matter if right. You don't have the quarterback. You can, if you have two sides of the coin, D-Mac, which side can you be deficient on? You have the quarterback and your roster building isn't as good, or you don't have the quarterback and your roster building's great. Which side would you rather have?
Quarterback.
Of course.
I can build around that.
Yeah. He can cover up a lot of blemishes.
The concept of building, first of all, you have to understand every NFL team has some crazy thing like 30 to 35% turnover anyway.
Yeah, you got to build around your quarterback. Right. That's what you build around. Hey, we're roster right. building. We got a great defense. It doesn't matter.
Right.
You don't have a quarterback.
I'll give you a great example. The Seahawks, even though their season obviously is garbage this year, but, and they got lucky too because they got Russell Wilson so late in the draft. Okay, fine. But at least they had the smarts. Once they saw, oh, who's the dude they gave the contract to from Green Bay? He had, like, one good season.
Help Matt me. Flynn.
Flynn.
He had one good game.
Right.
He had, like, five touchdowns against, what, the Lions or something?
They give Flynn a bunch of money.
Yeah.
They draft Wilson late. They lucked out. But they realized instantly, oh, wait, this guy, not that guy.
And they didn't worry about the money part of it.
They did not. They just went with a better player. They lucked out. But what they were able to do, especially because they got so lucky that they got a third-round draft choice that ended up being so good, they could build around that. And then they had to bite the bullet when it was time to pay Russell Wilson. And so they, again, built around him. And they should have won two Super Bowls. They should have in his first couple years. And they've been a competitive team ever since. Now, the rubber's meeting the road there. So likely, they're going to what? Build around him again. And that probably means the jettison of Pete, I guess. But
I think both of them could be gone. I know all of our, and John Clayton, we'll God bless John Clayton, who's forgot more about football than I'll ever know. But I know all the Seattle guys are like, there's no way he's leaving.
Well, we'll see.
I wouldn't be so quick to say that.
All right, so we're giving you an opportunity to vent, to get
your
things
chance.
Out there, to let us know how you're feeling about things. Brandon, you're on the fan. Hi, Brandon.
Hey, man. I guess the only one thing I'd say is where you said that we kind of made a mistake without draft
drafting Josh Allen when we had Vance Joseph. The one thing I'd say with that is it took till year three for Josh Allen to kind of get it together and everybody to know the type of quarterback he is. Where right now with Drew Lock, this would have been year three, correct?
Hold on. You got a little revision. I'm not going to assume your or accept your premise because I understand what you're saying, that he wasn't as good of a quarterback. But yeah, when people have more experience, they tend to get better. They were still a playoff team with Josh Allen right away.
Yeah.
Now, first year. Right. It was unconventional, but he gave them a shot immediately. And when you talk about the quarterback, I know what you're overlooking, the 9 times that he ran in for touchdowns, the 9 touchdowns he had as a rusher. So to just say, oh, well, Josh Allen really didn't become a good quarterback until year three.
He had almost 700 yards rushing as a rookie, by the way.
My point is as a Denver Bronco franchise, would we have waited long enough to find out if he was going to be that guy?
Yes, we would have.
That's my point.
Yes, Brandon, we would have, because he's that good. He is that good. And if we had, thank you, Brandon, for the call, and if we had coaches so stupid to not realize what they had, they would have been fired if the people in charge knew what they were doing. You got to understand what the Buffalo Bills were. They were connected from ownership to GM to coach to offensive coordinator to quarterback. They were all together. So to say, I've heard this argument so many times, oh, we wouldn't have known what to do with these guys anyway. Well, then we're lost. And you can't not do something because you just think you're a bunch of idiots in the first place, Cease.
Well, it's a silly argument either way. You know, they wouldn't do anything with Josh Allen, or the Drew Lop just needs every single rep. Yes, reps, it's Jack and the Beanstalk. Magical beans. These reps, Drew Lock has not developed. He would still have poor mechanics. He would still regularly read one side of the field. Okay? That's what he would do because that's what he has done.
So let me, again, with George Payton, why'd he even keep Drew Lock? Why didn't he cut him? If what you're hearing about Drew Lock is so bad and he has so
and
little
they won't
potential.
Play him. They refuse
and
to
they
play him.
Won't play him. Why is he on the team? And when it comes to Brett Rypien, why is he on the 53? Why was he so important to protect if, again, you're not willing to play him either in meaningless games? Why are you allowing Vic Fangio to stay up there today and say, we're going to do anything and everything we can to win this game?
But this is the most meaningless game in Broncos history.
When this
game doesn't matter.
Means nothing. And the NFL, talk about the NFL and the Broncos. Talk about shoving it down their throats by moving the game to Saturday.
Just get it out the way.
Well, the reason they're doing it, first of all, number one, they don't care about the Broncos.
Right.
We just start there.
Right.
Hey, Joel's and the Broncos, get ready to take it in the shorts on terms of parking and concessions. And you're going to have thousands of people that have something else or plans to do or had travel arrangements based on a Sunday game, not a Saturday game.
Right.
So up yours, Broncos. We don't care if we're going to cost you millions of dollars by moving the game. And second of all, they need to have the Chiefs play a meaningful game, because if the Titans were to win and then the Broncos played the Chiefs would know we don't have a shot, and
right.
Now it's not a competitive game.
Right.
So,
your answer, by the way, to the Lock question, though, like, why keep Lock? Because George Payton didn't want to upset John Elway. He wanted to, in a way, genuflect.
Right.
Look at the Pat Sertan pick, right? John, is this okay? Are we good with this?
Well, not just okay, safe.
Then look at the Javonte Williams pick when everyone's losing their mind.
Mm.
The dichotomy between those two picks is very, very interesting.
Yeah, the Sertan pick was terrible. Not because Patrick Sertan is a bad player.
No, he's a fine player.
But it just shows you...
The Micah Parsons, I can make an argument with Micah Parsons over Mac Jones because Mac Jones doesn't fit here, which goes back to my question. Who in the hell fits here with Pat Shurmur? If you can't make it work with a Mac Jones and you don't want Justin Fields, and by the way, Ryan Day and Pat Shurmur worked together with Philadelphia. Ryan Day would have told him anything about Justin Fields. Now, was he part of that group that Mr. Orlovsky got a hold of and ran with that bad information of that Justin Fields was using his epilepsy to get out of practice?
Mm.
That was floating around that program last year, and that hurt that young man's draft stock because guys like Orlovsky didn't have the brains enough to actually check with teammates or other coaches. They just heard something, and they ran with it. So why didn't Pat Shurmur want Justin Fields? Fields and Micah Parsons, to me, are the two that got away.
You know, it's crazy, too, when you think about Pat Shurmur. We had an offensive coordinator come here who, as a head coach, passed on Drew Lock in the first place. That was a smart move. Let's go to Travis. Adam Schefter will join us in a second. Travis, you're on the fan. What's up, Travis?
Hey, I'm a longtime season ticket holder, so I appreciate you guys giving us an opportunity to kind of sound off. I guess, you know, it's hard for me to understand who's in charge, so I guess my message is kind of broken off in like three paths. You know, the first, I would go to Ellis naturally and say, Joe, you failed us. I mean, I'm still going to renew for my 26th year, but when we lost 12 straight to the Chiefs and haven't done something like that since the 60s, my seats have been empty since then. I haven't gone to any home game since then. I'd rather take it in short and let those seats sit empty. And if you bring back this same show, I'm going to purchase my tickets and I'm going to sit empty again because it's not worth my time. And Elway, you're my favorite player. I grew up. I remember the Sports Illustrated cover that said, you go your way, we're going Elway. You're the guy. You're my guy. You're my favorite player. You failed us as an executive. You of all people should understand. Losing to the Raiders, especially this year with an interim coach, you've embarrassed us. You've took advantage of the Mile High Magic we've brought. And all these fans that are sitting here saying, I support my team, the three Super Bowls, I'll sell my soul. Are you kidding me? We're about building something here. We're not about selling our souls for four-year windows. We want hope. We want that magic to come back. We've lost DT. We've lost Dan Reeves. Everybody's got things going on in their lives outside of football. Broncos country is what brings us together, that brings these enjoyments. We're supposed to be in the playoffs. You failed us, John, as an executive. And Peyton, I'd say to you, what makes me trust that you're going to restore hope? It is obvious by your decisions, by bringing me Bridgewater and Locke to watch this year. What you've done is told me you devalue the quarterback position. There were choices this year. Now was the time in the 2021 draft to go all in. We would forgive a failure. We love our team.
Travis, and I really hope. I'm sorry.
Love
that
emotion.
Travis.
Love that emotion.
Yeah, Travis, I appreciate it. Just put Travis on hold there. And I do not mean to rush off because that was awesome, Travis. But we are joined by Adam Schefter. And boy, Adam, I hope you could hear that a little bit. Adam Schefter is presented by Bet River Sportsbook. That's a Broncos fan, a longtime Broncos fan, literally getting emotional to a degree that he's almost breaking down in tears about the status of the team right now.
Listen, it's been a tough road lately, and I understand and respect that passion. It's what makes Broncos fans so great. But I also would say, I mean, you got to give people time. Like George Payton, we've seen him for not even a year yet, and he's put in some good players, and he hasn't addressed the quarterback position, and you just can't solve all these things overnight. It just doesn't happen. And here's the deal. They've just missed too often on the quarterback position in recent years to think that everything is going to be fine, and that's, you know, they're paying the price for that a little bit by not hitting on the right quarterbacks at the right time. But look, I also would say this. That fan, and I have great respect for that passion and enthusiasm, but the Broncos still have given their fans more winning than most franchises have given their fans. Let's keep that in mind, too. You know what it's like to be a fan in Cleveland, where I'm in Pittsburgh tonight to watch the Browns, where they've been eliminated?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Giants have had the worst record in football the last 5 years. The Jets fans were that I live around, don't even get me started there. They would sell their soul for a playoff appearance, you know, and haven't won a Super Bowl since 1969. So, again, you know, it's not a criticism to say Broncos fans are all spoiled, but they've had great fortune. But in recent years, it hasn't gone the way that they'd like. And they're used to it going a certain way, and they've been tough times, and there's not a quarterback right now that they could be excited about, but that can change just like that. kissed like that. And I would venture to tell you, this offseason, it probably will change just like that.
Well, let's go. Let's go through.
The hope that I would have.
Yeah.
The hope that I would tell Travis that at some point this offseason, that this team makes a play for a quarterback that's going to make him and other Bronco fans happy and proud. And I think that'll happen.
All right. Let's go through a couple things then. What are you hearing in Green Bay? How's Aaron Rodgers and Gutekunst and that whole crew getting along up there?
Yeah, it's tough to assess until it's all said and done. Look, I think that if you've watched them, listened to people, watched the broadcast, it certainly seems like there's a peace that's come over Aaron Rodgers with being there. And I don't mean that he's going to be there long term. I don't know what he's going to decide. I still think that some of the things that were there are there and will be there, but clearly the relationships he's had, the communication he's had, has been better this season. Is that going to be enough to say, I don't want to go anywhere, I want to finish my career? I don't have the answer to that. I don't know. But it's a question that a lot of people in Denver are waiting. But even if you're a Broncos fan or you're the Broncos organization, you can't put all your chips in the Aaron Rodgers basket. Because even if he does want to leave, there's no assurance that that's going to be the quarterback that you land.
Well, let's talk about another basket, Adam, and that's the Russell Wilson basket. He says he doesn't want to leave, which I understand is a spin. He's trying to say that. But what are the chances Russell Wilson is not in Seattle next year?
I think they're pretty good. I think that, look, you know, that's also a long story relationship. Yesterday, Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson won their 62nd game together, tying them with Bill Belichick and Tom Brady for the most since Russell Wilson came into the league by a coach and a quarterback. And so there's a lot of history there. There's a Super Bowl title there. There are issues that I don't believe they've been fully solved and addressed just yet. And I think there'll be conversations that occur there. And both sides will explore what's best for them. And again, we'll leave it to them to figure out what works for them. But there's a question there. There's a question with Aaron Rodgers. You'll go to Deshaun Watson next. Yes, I think Houston will move off him. Those are the three headliners of the offseason, undoubtedly. And I would say this, that what if Philadelphia lands one of these guys? Could Jalen Hurts be available? Would that be a guy that Denver would like? And I wouldn't have any issues with that at all. I think Jalen Hurts has a bright future. Is there a quarterback in the draft? This isn't supposed to be the best drafts for quarterbacks. That doesn't mean you can't find one, but Italian evaluators agree that this is not the best quarterback draft we've seen in recent years. So, again, you're in a difficult spot. Broncos are. You need to find a quarterback. You hope maybe you can find a way to get one of those big three. If you can't get one of those big three, now you're looking at alternative options. But Travis, the Bronco fan, who exuded all that pet, they could build a good team, but I don't know that they're going to be a great team until they can find a great quarterback. I just don't know that.
Adam, what are you hearing? Boy, this usually would be Black Monday for coaches, except now we have an extra week. We have a week 18, so we put that off by a week, I guess. So what's your vibe out there, specifically about the Broncos or perhaps other coaching changes, but start maybe with the Broncos if you've heard anything or nothing?
Yeah, I think anything is possible there. I think that they truly believe and recognize the coach and man that Vic Fangio can be, which right now Broncos fans are unhappy with, let's be honest. They want blood right now.
That's right.
It doesn't change the fact in my mind that Vic is a good coach and he's a good man. Now, again, when you assess it, you have to say, okay, we're going to fire Vic Fangio. Who are we going to get that we believe is so much better than Vic Fangio? And I know Broncos fans probably say, well, we could name a lot of people that would be better. Okay, that's great. Now we start the whole process over again. And again, we'll see what they do. To me, it could go either way. I think Vic is smart enough to recognize he doesn't know how this is going to turn out. I don't know if they know how it's going to turn out. I've heard them say enough, people in the Broncos organization, well, we really like Vic, and we'd like to keep him. That doesn't mean they will, but that is how they feel about him.
All right, good stuff. Yeah, you guys don't – this game doesn't – well, what does this game you got tonight mean? What's the biggest storyline here with the Steelers and the Browns?
There are a few storylines. Number one, going away, Ben Roethlisberger's last.
Right. Yeah, right.
So that'll be a big deal, a lot of emotion. And the other thing is it's brutally cold here. And so it's going to be another night where I'm going to make a fool of myself and be very, very soft.
All right, Adam. We'll stay
warm, Adam.
Stay warm. We'll talk to you next
week. Way too many of these games this year. Way too many. Tell Travis to hang in there.
All right.
Broncos Nation to hang in there.
All right.
Let's see which quarterback they get before jumping off ledges and getting hysterical.
Thank you, Adam. Adam Schefter, presented by Bet River Sportsbook.
Man, Travis getting famous today.
Travis, that was a hell of a call by Travis.
That was a great call. That's exactly, he's a perfect Broncos fan.
Yeah,
that epitomizes Broncos country. Not Bronco Nation, Adam. I correct him there.
Mm.
But like that, his call, his emotion, his long time of loving this team. You know this is wrong. You know everything this team is doing is wrong. It's time for George Payton to change it.
Okay, here we go. More of your calls, taking the calls, the texts, your reaction. If something's going to change, I'm telling you, they do pay attention to this radio station.
Oh, God, yes, they do.
More than they pay attention to their own radio station, but they do pay attention to what is said over here. And so it's fine by me to let you voice how you feel about it. We'll get to more of that coming up next.
It's a Reaction Monday, powered by Superbook Sports. It's time to take a trip to the water cooler.
Is this good for the company?
We need to talk about your TPS reports.
Did you see the memo about this?
We find it's always better to fire people on a Friday.
If you could just go ahead and make sure you do that from now on, that would be great.
Here's Tyler and D-Mac.
What would you say you do here?
All right, we'll get back to your calls and reaction about the Broncos and moving forward. We haven't even really talked about the game, but I mean, we could.
Does it even matter?
Not really. I mean, I predicted they were going to lose 55-10.
I heard that, and I was like, no way. And then almost.
Right. They were on the path.
They were. Did it look like they were checked out?
No.
You sure?
Well,
even the first drive, I was like, ooh, that defense looks checked out.
It was the JV. Listen, they didn't practice. I'm doing the show with Nate Jackson, who's terrific, and this feeling of, hey, the practice squad guys who practice all the time
right,
together.
They get to show something. You're Seth Williams. This is your chance.
Hey, he made a nice catch.
He did.
I don't know. There's only so much you can do. Here's where I thought they would lose, and it's where they did, is they were going to be soft on the defensive line, which they were,
right.
And they didn't have enough of a pass rush. They actually had a better pass rush than I thought they were going to have. And they actually stood up to the run a little bit better than I thought. I thought it was actually going to be way worse.
Yeah, Jonathan Harris had a hell of a game.
But at the end of the day, you know, you were so depleted on defense I think the Chargers actually played kind of crappy in the beginning of the game. They dropped some passes. They made some dumb mistakes. It should have been worse. And then Derwin James says, ball's thrown right at him.
Yeah, two dropped interceptions.
I don't know if it's going to be a pick six, but you grab the ball at the 50, you're probably got a shot at a pick six, and you never know. You're going to have the whole field more or less wide open to run into the end zone.
Right.
And then, of course, you got to the abysmal special teams. I mean, and then Fangio afterwards, like today, he was talking about special teams, and he was talking about how we haven't had a returner be able to return something for a touchdown or... It's like he doesn't even understand special teams. Talk about something I'm over. And it's incredible to have a kickoff returner return one for a touchdown. The Broncos have had that against them twice this year.
Right.
I'm going to guess that hasn't happened more than six or seven times this entire season.
Yeah, it's highly unusual.
It's highly so unusual. It's more common to recover an onside kick than it is to take a ball to the house on the kickoff.
100-plus yards.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, we don't see it.
And then we had to hear Brandon McManus after the game talk about how he miskicked the ball. And then he was explaining how, well, I was supposed to kick it to the right side or whatever. And again, I am just, in my mind, shaking my head like, the only instruction you needed to give to McManus, especially in a situation where you had so many new guys on special teams, one instruction, kick the ball out of the end zone, the end. But he's trying to place it somewhere or do something else with it, and he miskicked it.
Right. See ball, kick ball.
Kick it as far. Kick it.
Put it out of the end zone.
Hey, fifth row kick. We're gonna kick it in the fifth row.
Make it go through the uprights.
It's this sort of, and this is after they gave up a 47-yard kickoff return to start the game. How dumb can you be? How the head coach doesn't go up to the special teams coach or directly to the kicker and say, I want you to kick it out of the end zone every single time, the end. But again, this, the special team stuff is
but these conversations are ones that we've already had. Ad nauseum, I put it on Twitter yesterday because Twitter's the most important thing ever, except it's not. You know, I'm sick of talking about the same stuff. Hey, the special teams suck. Hey, Vic Fangio doesn't pay attention to the offense. Hey, Pat Shurmur doesn't have a good offense. Uh-huh. Welcome to the last 3 years of my life in talking about this Broncos team.
So frustrating.
When will it change? Why hasn't it changed already?
I don't know. And save me the why would you do it now stuff. It's never too early to make change that you need to make.
Right.
Oh, why would we do it now? Why would we? Well, they haven't. They could have. How Tom McMahon still has a job is I mean, I don't even know what to say.
Yeah, I feel bad even talking about him because we all know that he shouldn't have his job even coming into this year. Like, why did he keep his job this year?
But part of it is, I'll give you another reason why Fangio should be gone. Fangio doesn't know how to coach him. Fangio likes to throw other people under the bus.
Oh, he loves it. He's a professional bus driver.
But the fact of the matter is he's wanting the wrong things out of his special teams coach. So the special teams coach is trying to coach things based on the bad advice he's getting from his head coach. It's crazy. It's insane. Deontay Spencer. I don't even know what to say. You're going to get the ball at the 50-freaking-yard line if you do nothing.
Remember when Jim Leonard was here and he was like a fair catch specialist?
Yes, I do.
Can we get somebody like that? Well, what's Jim Leonard doing right now?
I don't know if you really remember it, but they used to have Emmanuel Sanders occasionally because he's got the best. They had Eric Decker catch the ball.
Just go back there and wave your hand, catch it.
Catch the ball. Put Cortland Sutton back there. Who has the best hand? Fair catch. I'm the best catcher of the football on the team.
Yes.
But no, here's what we do stupidly. We think we can return a punt from the 50 for a touchdown. There's only a couple of spots on the field that you even have a chance to return a punt from a touchdown. And it generally is between, say, the 20 and the 35 when the other team is kicking from their like 10 or 15 and it has to be a line drive punt. It's the only runway that you get.
Right.
Unless you're on a kickoff, sure, if you're a stupid team and you kick a line drive to the guy on the goal line,
right.
If you're a moron team, yeah, that's a ball that you can take back as well. Other than that, you start at the 25 on a kickoff and you fair catch every single ball, period.
By the way, per our buddy Ryan O'Halloran, looks like Brandon McManus and Sam Martin are on the COVID list. Could be available, though, Saturday. We're talking about special teams,
That's just comical.
Thank you, Ryan.
Not comical. I hope they're okay. I'm not making light of that. It's just
ironic.
Yes, the situation.
Although everything in the song from Alanis Morissette is actually not ironic.
Yeah, we don't have to go through that.
It'd be more fun than talking about this team.
Just get yourself.
This team is garbage. Fire Vic Fangio, please, for the love of God. George Payton. Understand what Broncos country is about. Broncos country is not Minnesota. We're not going to sit here in our, what do you call it, an ice hole earlier? Like, we're not going to sit here ice fishing, being like, it's great, we got football on Sunday. You want championships here. I'm sick of this, dude. I'm not even a Broncos fan. But I come from a family of Broncos fans that live and die for this team. They're like Travis, right? Getting all emotional out there. And I love it, dude. I love that you have fans like that who will call in and start crying on the air because their team sucks. And they want it to be better. So, George Payton, don't sell us the same crap of Vic Fangio. It's awful. It's garbage. It's time for a change.
Here's some other stuff going on. We'll get to your calls and your text here in a second. We appreciate your patience. Ian Rappaport on Rodgers.
Rich, Aaron Rodgers brought up his future this week unprompted, saying, could he retire? Could he leave? Could he stay? Didn't talk to his teammates and talk to his boys about it. He kind of just said it. So let's take a look at where this all stands. My understanding is Aaron Rodgers came into the season planning for this to be like The Last Dance. Win the Super Bowl, and then go somewhere else. And, of course, we know before the season, the Packers verbally agreed to take a look at some potential trade options for him, and if everyone was okay with it, send him somewhere that they are good with. However, big however, since then, things have improved. He's had regular conversations with coaches were never an issue, but he has had regular conversations with the front office. They've listened to him in several different ways. Green Bay wants him back. This is their number one priority in the offseason. It's just a question, have things improved enough for Rodgers to want to stay?
That's the question. Listen, man, if Aaron Rodgers isn't happy with the best team in football, with unbelievable chance to win the Super Bowl this year.
Great coach, great defense when everybody's healthy, great ground game.
They got Nathaniel Hackett, who apparently he loves.
You're going to have to pay for Davante Adams, though.
Okay.
You're going to have to keep him. So you're going to have to give Rodgers a new contract that's $50 million a year.
Okay.
Listen, $100 million, you got $125 million like that.
If we learned anything, if you got one of those guys, you ride that guy, I mean, until
here's
all
the problem,
the wheels fall off.
You and I say that because we're outside observers. Do you realize how big, and you do because you've been covering the NFL, give me the Mike Evans line. I've been on there in Denver for 27 years, whatever the number
started
is.
Started covering the NFL in 1994.
There you go. Done.
You're
boom.
In Broncos in 99, but yes.
I started playing fantasy football in 93, so close enough. But either way, here's the problem. The egos in the front office are much larger than the ones on the field. So we have guys that think they can do it without Russell Wilson, without Aaron Rodgers. That is legitimate. The Seattle thing, that wasn't really Wilson and Carroll as much as people are trying to say. That was John Schneider being like, yeah, we're kind of sick of Russell Wilson freewheeling all the time. That was the team thinking they could move on from Russell Wilson and decided to patch it up for one more year.
We'll see what happens with Rodgers, but logically, he's not going anywhere. I look back on it, and like as bad statistically as a year that Peyton Manning had, I'm really looking back on it. I would have begged him for a fifth year that he was under contract for. Mm-hmm. Begged him.
And they messed up with Brock, though. They should have kept Brock as their quarterback.
Well, of course.
You can make the argument he might still be playing as their quarterback.
Right. And talk about a dumb situation. He goes down to Houston. The head coach didn't want him.
Yeah.
You got to be in line with everything.
And you spent 4 years with Brock. You don't go to Super Bowl 50 without Brock.
Correct. And by the way,
5-2.
If you didn't believe in Brock, then you should have just moved on from him in the middle of the Manning era. But you didn't. If you didn't like Paxton Lynch, cut him. Or play him. But have a plan and stick to it. This, like, you know, this craziness. That is why, by the way, not starting the season with Drew Lock made the least amount of sense because of what we have right now. Fine, play Teddy if you really do think you are a Super Bowl. Right now, you're a Super Bowl team.
Melvin Gordon thinks that.
Melvin Gordon does think that. And that's what they operated this year. They operated as if they really were a Super Bowl quality team. And how they, but George Payton didn't think. This is what's confusing. When George Payton traded Von Miller, he admitted we're not one of those teams.
Right.
When did you come to that conclusion? And if that was your conclusion, or you knew that all along, why did you let your team operate as if they were a Super Bowl level team if you knew better all along?
And why are you doing favors for the former staff, for John Elway, and trying to establish your culture, George Payton? It's time for you. Stop doing, I'm doing Vic Fangio a favor. Right. Why? What has he done to deserve that?
Well, I'll tell you what he's done. He's built up a good relationship with George Payton. I mean, he kisses George Payton's butt.
Oh, all the time.
Left and right. He did
manipulator.
He did it again today.
Oh, yeah.
About how, you know, George.
With George Payton will be fine. George, we'll fix all the issues.
George is going to get us there.
George has got it. I love George. Can I keep my job?
So the whole rap. Now, I'm not saying that Payton is, or Fangio is definitely going to be fired, or kept, retained, rather. I mean, things can change this week. They can. But right now, it didn't matter. Right today.
Right now, you're out of the playoffs. It doesn't matter.
It didn't matter that they didn't make the playoffs. That didn't matter.
Garbage.
For everybody out there who said, and man, it was a lot of people, including people here at the station.
Oh, I said it. I said George Payton told Vic Fangio playoffs are done.
Well, that doesn't, right now.
That's not true.
Right now it's not true.
Right now that's not true.
Because why are you waiting if it is true? For what purpose? To have empty seats on Saturday? All right, Brandon, David, Dave, John, Bobby, room for you, 303-713-1043. Whew, get some of your reactions to Drive on the Fan.
It's a Reaction Monday, powered by Superbook Sports. Here's the Drive with Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
All right, guys, it's Lammy in for Tyler today as we roll through it. So let's hear from you. We start with Bobby. Bobby, you're on the Fan. What you got, Bobby?
What's good, boys? How are you?
What up, what up?
Hey, so a couple things. I like Travis's call, but I think he's wrong. I think 98% of Denver Bronco fans whatever it would take to get Rodgers over, I think we would all say, fine, however many first-round picks, give them Jerry Jeudy, Noah Fant, sure. Whatever, just bring Rodgers over. But my question is this. I live in Vegas, and my only connection to, you know, that the Denver Broncos is really listening to you guys. And so where I'm confused is why everybody is saying that Fangio is not going to lose his job when history would show that every coach that has done a horrible job in Denver has been fired.
Right.
And then you have guys like Peter King saying that it looks good that if the Denver Broncos can figure out a way to get Hackett over,
right,
then Rodgers would come.
Yeah.
And just in your D-Mac, your scenario where maybe he comes over as a co-head coach.
Right.
I don't think he would do that because I think other teams would offer him the head coaching job. So he wouldn't, he would just say, you know, thanks, but no thanks. I'll go to.
Yeah. I mean, hey, Bobby, you bring up a great point. It's why, for example, first of all, money talks. So if they offer him enough money, he'll agree to it as long as it's made clear that, yeah, you're going to get the job next year when we move on from Fangio. But it's a crazy plan. It's not a great plan. And the reason why you even have to discuss it is because what we've heard from Ian Rapoport, and by the way, other people as well, saying that the relationship really is good, really good, between Fangio and Peyton. Other than that, if we had heard anything opposite of that, first of all, if we heard opposite of that, Fangio would have already been fired. They're out of the playoffs. It'd be done.
Does he put more weight in the relationship with the fans of in the city of where he lives, or
more
worried about
Bobby? We don't know. See, here's the problem. Like, I understand what you're doing because you're citing things in history, which is a smart thing to do,
right?
But George Payton is brand new here, so he's not part of that history. They have not been good, or whatever he said that time. And, you know, he's brand new here, and like, hey, man. You know, when Adam Schefter says, hey, you know, kind of cut him some slack, he's, you know, just brand new here.
Yeah, it doesn't take, you can't build Rome in a day.
I roll my eyes at that, too, is how, I get it, but how long, how much time do we all as people that cover the Broncos or Broncos fans have to sit around?
I give you an easy example.
Wait for people to get experience here.
I give you an easy example of how quarterback and coach are tied together. Cincinnati. That's year number two for Joe Burrow, and they already look like that. Imagine what Zach Taylor, pretty good coach.
Yeah.
Pretty good coach. Got a pretty good quarterback. You got that? You're going on the right path.
Listen, man. You know, it's an interesting one, too, there in the Rams. So McVay gets to the Super Bowl with Goff, and that's not good enough. The 49ers are a pretty darn good team with Jimmy G. That's not good enough.
Right.
You really think Vic Fangio was so insistent about Teddy Bridgewater this and Teddy Bridgewater that? I mean, at some point, I mean, you know, pull the cord already. I mean, it's not
change
working out. I mean, come on. The fact that Teddy Bridgewater started that short week game Thursday against Cleveland
is
so pathetic. What are you doing? And even today, when we heard about, we're going to do anything and everything to win this game. Okay. Can I kill you with some truth here, Cecil? If you have any meaningful player for your team next year that is going to be on the team, he shouldn't be playing in this game on Saturday. Michael Gallup has a torn ACL.
Yes.
I mean, the Cowboys are still in a very competitive situation, so I'm not blaming them for playing Michael Gallup. I'm just pointing out one of their star players in a random late season football game is now out for the absolute, he's out for next year. So just when you think about things for a second here, why are you playing Bradley Chubb?
This is the Jimmy Kimmel Bowl coming up on Saturday, right? That's
why,
what it is.
Why
didn't Matt Corral play?
Because he got some really, really bad advice.
Terrible advice.
And it breaks my heart.
Could have been a top 10 pick.
It breaks my heart to see coaches, administrators, TV commentators with backup players for Clemson advocating for guys to play college, meaningless college football. Hey, Kirk Herbstreit, just calm down. Maybe your kids will run under a punt or something. I mean, the whole love of college football. Stop. I get it. Your kids aren't playing. Or maybe you want them to play more. They don't love college football more than Matt Corral. Matt Corral just has more to play for than your kids. Okay? But nobody ever wants to be honest about the finance, the whole crap about, you know, you're not there for your teammates. Do Christian McCaffrey's teammates hate him?
Leonard Fournette's teammates, do they hate him?
Do you think Kenny Pickett's teammates are really pissed off and won't welcome him to the Pittsburgh reunion?
Right.
What are you, nuts? These are meaningless games that are not NCAA sanctioned, that are done for private bowl companies, which biggest financial benefit goes to the schools, not to the individual players. And you want to risk millions and millions of dollars? Because why? You're the world's greatest teammate? And what, your teammates won't? You already had your shot, Ole Miss. You had a great run. You had a great season. You didn't win the SEC. It's hard to win the SEC. But you know what? You were in a lot of good, important, meaningful games because of Matt Corral. Be happy with that. And I guarantee you, Cecil, guarantee you his teammates are fine with that. And by the way, what a great opportunity for that young quarterback or quarterbacks to play for Ole Miss, who you're going to need next year.
Right.
And there's no difference with the Broncos on the game Sunday. But you got the head coach who should be fired, who's undoubtedly willing to risk the health of his players to put him out there. So they're going to play if they're dinged up.
You got like Bradley Chubb, you 100%? No. You got like Cortland Sutton, you 100%? No. You're going to go out there and risk further injury when we need you next year, man.
Next year we need you. Justin Simmons shouldn't play in this game. Chubb shouldn't play. Shelby Harris shouldn't play. Bowles shouldn't play. None of these guys should play. Because what's the worst thing that can happen? You get a better draft pick for the future moving forward? Oh, we were not standing up for other men on the team? You're going to have a 30% turnover anyways on this team. What are we talking about? We want to make sure, what, that Mike Purcell feels good about everything? Stop. But this is George Payton, by the way. Like, he's got to make the call
on
these
things.
He can
put the foot down and say, this list is not playing.
Yeah, but that won't happen. You'll hear this stupidity go on.
We really trust Vic. Well, trust somebody else.
Because here's why it matters to the coaches. Everything matters to the coaches. It's not their health that's on the line. This is what they have to do. I just wish somebody with some common sense would finally speak some truth to power over there. And why don't these guys that we just mentioned play in the third preseason game anymore, Cecil? Why does Sean McVay not play any of his starters in the preseason?
Right.
Right?
Right.
Oh, it really hurt the Rams this year that they didn't play any of their guys in meaningless games. Exhausting. Exhausting dealing with these sort of issues year after year after year with this team. And to hear on today, no change whatsoever. You'll hear from Vic Fangio coming up next.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbis here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.